We're back live again. It seems like I'm doing this every night. Actually, I think we are. I think this is episode 24. Tonight, great guest, UFC fighter, former Spanish teacher, hence his nickname, the Spaniard, Charlie Brenneman. And I am also joined by my awesome semi-permanent co-host, Alicia. And yeah, we're going to get right into it. Let's talk. We were just chit-chatting off air for here for, and we could probably do that all night, but why not bring you all into the conversation? Boom, and now we're live.
Made it.
We're all over the interwebs. Charlie, thanks for joining me, man. We're talking. We were in the same area for a bit, East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, home of East Stroudsburg University. Yeah, I can speak really good tonight.
Yeah, ESU East Stroudsburg was a really pivotal point in my life. So I taught Spanish. I wrestled my whole life. Graduated, went home, taught Spanish, and then thought, man, I'd really like to do. You're from Jersey, you said. So I saw Frankie Edgar fighting in the UFC and thought, I'd like to do that. So I left my Spanish teaching job, moved over to East Stroudsburg, went to grad school, and then moved to Jersey from there. So that was a real pivotal point in my life.
Where in Jersey were you at?
I was in North Jersey. I lived in East Hanover, trained in Whippany.
Yeah.
Right on Route 10.
My brothers are boxers, and they used to go down to Lucas Stello's gym in Patterson.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were boxers most of our lives. Yeah.
Talk about a culture shock moving from middle nowhere, Pennsylvania to North Jersey.
It was quite if everybody's never been to middle of Pennsylvania, it's not Philadelphia. It's not a main city. It is like middle America, man. It's awesome.
It sure is. I remember I used to go into New York City and train at Henzo Gracie's. And I would go on Mondays. And one of the first subway trips I ever took in my life, I'd take the path from New Jersey into New York. And I remember smiling at everybody, right? And nobody smiled back. And I was like, oh, maybe they don't want me to smile at them here. So it's just, you know, eyes down or straight ahead and just get to the gym.
That's awesome, brother. Now, a couple things I wanted to touch on tonight is I've seen your YouTube videos. I've done a little research on you. Your backstory is pretty much out there in the open. So what I'd like to do is, we know you're a UFC fighter. We know you grew up in Pennsylvania. We know you're a Spanish teacher. But the things I want to talk about are where you're at now, kind of like how you became this motivational force post-fighting.
Yeah, man, that was such a huge... It was such a huge transition, and you know, being veterans, you both understand here, and any other veteran would understand the transition from your path to your not path. And while I was not in the military, it was still, you know, a gung-ho professional fighter to that being over. And it happened once when I was a college wrestler, became a teacher, and then happened again when I was a teacher to a fighter, and then post-fighter to whatever the heck I'm going to do then. And so I just fell into this idea of learning and pursuit. And so when I was fighting, I had day in and day out, I would surround myself and fight and get beat up by these world-class, like the best in the world. And when I left fighting, I no longer had that. I was no longer in New York and New Jersey, and I had to find a way to compensate for that. And so I just dove into books. I used my experiences from fighting, lessons from fighting, current lessons that I'm using in books, and I teach as many of them as possible to as many people as who will listen.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things you said in there was like, you're the hardest learner. Like, and that means to me, that means like you just want to learn all the time. And as we were talking before the show, getting introduced to each other, you mentioned how you like to read a lot of military books, and a lot of military books do have that leadership principle to it. And it gets addicting. You get addicted to leadership values and learning different techniques. And then you have this feeling that you need to get out there and kind of like, hey, you know what? I know all this stuff. I want you to know it. And that's a great thing, man. And that's where it seems like you're transitioning into that next phase.
Yeah. You know, you said there about the military books, Make Your Bed is another great example. You know, you read these books by all these great military men and women and principles and character, and you just assume that that's the norm. Right. And then it helps you live yourself to a higher standard and to live, you know, you read about all these stories of person, you know, like, Travis Mills is Tough as They Come, you know, and that's another tremendous military book. And I had Matt Bradford on my podcast, all these just lessons to learn. And it's like, dang, I don't want to just sit on them. I want to get them out there because they're surely helping me be a better person, and they can help everyone be a better person. So that's really the foundation, like this urge to just share what I'm taking in.
I love that you mentioned that so much about transition. So my TEDx talk, one of the things I talked about was this LANF principle in the military called known point or last known point. And I think it's so helpful as we're transitioning through life, we're always going to hit a transition no matter what. And what you said about from your path to your not path, I think it's just something that's really, we should all sit on for a little while and just understand that, because I think so many times we get caught up on the specific path we're supposed to be on, and then don't give ourselves the grace and the kindness to know when to pivot or when to go back to that last known point, or just even to be okay with being on a new path and a new journey. But back to the military books you said you read, one of the books that has really stuck with me, and I feel like it's coming up a lot recently, is Extreme Ownership. So outside of Make Your Bed, is there one book that you just constantly find you're anchoring yourself on those principles of?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, I think Jocker's written 7 books, him and Leif co-authored, and I've got to spend time with them at one of their events and communicate with Leif, you know, via telephone every once in a while. Extreme Ownership, I mean, that as much as any book, I mean, there's a few books that I reference all the time, that Phil Knight's Shoe Dog, which is not a military book, but the idea of, you know, he said the best piece of advice he ever was given is just keep going, don't stop. You know, think of that on a daily basis. I think of Extreme Ownership. Think about Extreme Ownership is, I think about that mostly with my wife as a husband and as a dad. Not nothing, but more so in my home when I'm talking to my wife and interacting and not wanting to do the dishes. And then I think Extreme Ownership, Charlie, do the dishes. And so that's helped me tremendously. There are other books, Dichotomy of Leadership. And then a book like, you know, Tough as They Come by Travis Mills, which is his autobiography. I mean, you just learn what, like, resilience is. I'll speak for me, because I know I fall into a trap of thinking, oh, this is so hard, starting a business is so hard, and then you read these stories and learn about these stories of like real adversity and resilience, and it totally just, for me, it shakes me straight and gives me a fresh perspective and an accurate perspective to then move forward.
Yeah, it's so great. And you talked about, your title being the toughest lifelong learner. I feel like you have to certainly develop a lot of resilience to be the toughest lifelong learner. But what does that mean to you? Can you elaborate more on that title?
Yeah, you know, it's an ideal. So my business is evolving. You know, I as a person am evolving. But when I think of like world's toughest lifelong learner, I think of that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. I want to be physically tough. Right. I was a professional fighter. I love the act of training. I love combat. I loved fighting. But then the other side of that is learning. And, you know, you can read it, you hear it different ways, different books, different people, but you win or you learn, you know, that idea of constant pursuit. And for me, it was a replacement of being around those fighters on a daily basis. Look, when you sit, I mean, think of your military experience. I've talked to enough veterans and or military active men and women that camaraderie, that brotherhood and sisterhood and that like togetherness, it is something valuable that when I got out of it after fighting, I needed to be around that energy and that like excellence and that pursuit and that resilience and that everything. And I just found it in books. And that was a way for me to keep that tempo going. And then I try to like connect that to the idea of, you know, person listening, whatever you want is out there. You got to learn your way to get it. And these books for me anyway are providing that path.
Well, they're like the old school atlas. Now you're really finding your path, and they're maps, man. And they're maps to where you want to end up. I mean, it's kind of cliche, but it's a truth. One thing is you're going to find out is you have a lot of things that you're pushing. You're driven. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on a show, especially now. This is Pick Rep, Piccolo's Report. It should be Piccolo and Alicia's Report and all the other co-hosts. But it's your daily dose of positive during a virus and everything like that. But the thing you're doing now is you do a lot of motivational speaking, and you're starting your own podcast. Are you? What can you kind of give me the premise of what your podcast is going to be about? Are you going to be interviewing people? Are you going to? Is it going to be motivational?
Yeah. So I've been doing the podcast for a little while. It's broken up. Let me see now. I think I have like three different kind of pathways. The first, I produce an episode 5 days a week that is simply, I refer to it as books, right? And it's 8 minutes mm-hmm. where I talk about whatever I learned that day. I also do that with kids' books. I do that once a week. And then I also do interviews. So to me, it's like my vision for creating what I'm created. I grew up, you know, very, very, very full of self-doubt, very full of fear. You know, competitively, I was a wrestler. I would, you know, get to the championship or almost to the championship and doubt myself. And then I got on a reality TV show after college while I was teaching Spanish. And I ended up winning the TV show, the reality show. It was called Pros Versus Joes. And I thought, wait a minute, I wasn't nervous. Why was I not nervous? Like it was, I had to pull through in the last second. The episode's on Amazon too. Also the episodes are up there, but it was season one, Pros Versus Joes. And I was like, whoa, I wasn't nervous. That was weird. And then I thought, why wasn't I nervous? And then I realized that it was because I just knew I trained harder. I trained hard for that reality show. It was a sports reality show. And I thought, whoa, that's like a whole other level of preparation that I could look at my opponent and think, I out-trained you, therefore I'll win. And whether you win or not, you know, the belief in that is what really matters. And so post that, it set me on this path of preparation. And so my podcast is really preparation. It's my toolkit for doing the things that I aspire to do in life. And kind of like we alluded to earlier, why would I just keep that in my back pocket? Why don't I just share it? And so it's the books that I read. It's the people that inspire me, that teach me. It's the kids' books that makes it fun for people who don't read. And they say, I don't have time to read. Well, here's a 5-minute picture book that teaches mm-hmm. lessons on perseverance, friendship, togetherness, camaraderie, pursuit, all of that stuff. So it's really a collection of learning to help you get to where you want to get to in life.
Okay. And I like how you brought up the kids' books because every night, and Alicia, you need to listen to this too. Every night before we go to bed, I read these books to my daughter. She's just turned 10 and they're called Who Was I books and Who Am I books. And they have like Ruth Bader Ginsburg on there with Galileo, and they mm-hmm. go into their backstories. And I'm learning so much from these books, man, from kids' books. And you learn these like little lessons learned, and that's where it's at, man.
It sounds like those books, and I'm going to ask you again after we hang up or after we stop recording, but there's a series by a guy named Brad Meltzer. It's called Ordinary People Change the World. And mm-hmm. I'm reading about like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and Leonardo da Vinci. And it's just full of awesomeness. They take 10 minutes to read.
And they're like the abridged version. Paul Blaber put out a book, and this is a good one for you too, as well, Alicia. And I always like to throw Alicia in there too, because she's like, she absorbs leadership and everything. And I always have to give her kudos to that. But there's a book, I think it's by Pete Blaber. It's The Mission, The Men and Me. And it's Lessons from a Delta Force Officer. It's really good, man. You need to put that in your back pocket as well.
Yeah, I got a list I got to make after we're done here.
Well, one thing about, you know, you brought up the leadership, and you brought up the camaraderie that a lot of veterans get. And you've been wrestling since you were, how old were you when you first started wrestling? Yeah. And wrestling is so much different because it's a different type of suck. Like you and your teammates are all going through the same type of suck. So then you all have this, like this common core, like, wow, that really sucked. And that's where a lot of this military leadership or a lot of this brotherhood and sisterhood comes from. Is just embracing the suck together. And that's why you see a lot of these like special forces and a lot of other people, they just kind of mold together, is because they've all been in some sort of suck. And when you don't have that anymore, you look for the next thing. Your mind, the next thing is going to bring you commonality to others.
Yeah. You know, just in the books, and for whatever reason, I'm focusing, well, I mean, Matt Bradford, and Travis Mills, you know, they're both examples. Yeah. I think Travis was the fifth quadruple amputee in the war in Iraq. And then Matt Bradford stepped on IED and lost both his legs and his vision. And both these guys I've had on my podcast, you know, I talk to Matt on a regular basis. And, you know, and I believe it was Travis's book. He talks about that being in like the most terrible conditions ever and finding, like, I don't want to say peace in there, but appreciating the camaraderie of being there with the people he was there with. And again, for a civilian who's trying to learn lessons, that's a pretty strong lesson to learn, that one, the majority of us are not in that situation. The majority of us are, you know, that's why I love Gary Sinise's book so much, Grateful American. It's a reminder to not only just be grateful for what you do have, but also to pay respect, thanks, whatever it is, to the military for the sacrifices that they do for our freedom. And I want to tell you what, in the past several years, I've read a bunch, hundreds of books and interviewed 200 people almost, and, you know, learning about Native American history and learning about the military has been two of the richest subjects I've learned about. Yeah. And it made me a better human and definitely a better American, as a result of learning so much about those two subjects.
Yeah, I read Tribe last year, Sebastian Younger, I think that's his name. And one of the quotes that, and I'm going to completely mess this up, so if he's listening or watching, forgive me. But it's when there's something about, like, when you leave, the greatest tragedy of war is often leaving war, because when you're at war, you're united together around one common goal, and you're bonding through that experience, like you mentioned, Jason, and you're united with your brothers and sisters in arms. And I think, as you were talking, you reminded me of that, but just how maybe we're not in the same suck environment or same wartime environment, but how can we find that common goal and unite us as people, is something I'm always looking for. Just what are those factors or those components that we can just find that we can share with one another to stay connected, so we still feel that sense of connection. And for military veterans, as we transition, I think he talks about this also, but we feel when we transition out of the military, we're constantly being met with thank you for your service, as if we're no longer serving or we don't matter anymore, like we're on the outskirts of society. So how can we still show that gratitude to our military community, but in a way that makes us feel like we're still included and relevant?
Yeah, that's the reason I like having these conversations, because I think it's important for non-military to know, hey, what are the proper things to say? What are the proper, you know, I was listening to a guy named Kurt Fernley, and I'm learning about him, but I heard him on a podcast. He's from Australia, and he's a Paralympic champion. I believe it's in the marathon. And, you know, one of the questions that the host asked him is, whenever a person would approach someone with a disability, what's the proper thing to say or approach them? And, you know, Kurt grew up with not being able to use his legs from the time he was a baby. And he said, no one will ever get mad at you for saying, hi, how are you? And like that's a lesson that we can learn on how to relate to people and interact with people. And then having active military and veterans also just talk openly and honestly about what you just said, again, is a prime example of how it helps us be better people.
Yeah, I love that so much. Just be a human. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I never thought about it that way. Because, you know, in our line of work, in our line of life, we always kind of run into someone, and their disability isn't really a disability to a lot of them anymore. And they just want to be like, hey, you know what, just talk to me. I got the same brain as you. Just talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, don't treat me any different. Don't feel sorry for me. And 9 times out of 10, they're just like, way stronger than I am mentally. I can tell you that.
And I'll tell you what, there's another guy I had on my show. His name is Matt Marcinick, and he has cerebral palsy, and he does jujitsu, and he lives a life. And, you know, I remember this is one of the things, you know, I've interviewed, like I said, almost 200 interviews. And one of my friends, who's also a college basketball coach, he brought this up to me as one of the most memorable lines like that he's heard on my show. And Matt, it was just a reminder kind of when we were sending off to the next time you don't, and he was not specifically talking to me, but to you, the listener, the next time you don't want to do a workout or get on the treadmill, understand that you have the ability to do it. Right. And that was just a reminder again, of not taking things for granted.
Yeah. No, that's definitely Charlie.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, Alicia.
I was just going to say about that, having the ability to do so. That's something when I was in Afghanistan, I started doing CrossFit right before I went over there. And these CrossFit workouts are so brutal. And there were times where I really didn't want to. And when that happened, I would just think, like, you know what? You're so lucky you have legs to do this run. You're so fortunate that you have the ability to do this workout. Go get out there. And now I incorporate David Goggins. But, like, go take your own soul. Go see how hard you can mm-hmm. push yourself. And it's definitely helpful for motivation.
You know, and Matt Bradford is a guy, you know, his hashtag is no legs, no vision, no problem. And I had him on the show, did a live stream with him, been friends for a year and a half, 2 years. I met him. And I do this thing with kids where I host a live session with kids to help with anxiety and depression. And I speak in a lot of schools, and a lot of the kids will reach out and you know, express what they're dealing with. And a lot of it revolves around self-esteem, anxiety, depression. And I had him on the show. Well, not the show, but I had him join one of these live streams so we could talk to the kids about overcoming adversity. And there's just so many lessons to learn from people like Matt, you know, like what you just said about being able to do it. And it's just a humble lesson on perspective and insight and gratitude. And it's just, that's why I'm so passionate about, you know, my show and sharing all this stuff, is because I know how much better, more aware of a person all this stuff has made me.
Yeah, we're getting beyond the, you know, a lot of people like 5 minutes of information, but there's a lot of us out there who like to really just kind of jump into it and keep learning. And that's why I think a lot of people like podcasts. It's a different perspective. It's not mainstream media. It's not overly produced. It's raw. You know, that's why I really enjoy these live shows, is because sometimes you can get right into some, you know, down and dirty and say, hey, you know what? Life kind of sucks sometimes, but you got to take that first fearful step, get through it, and get a foothold on your dreams and where you want to go next.
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned that idea of taking the first fearful step. A lot of what I talk about is fear and pushing through it, right? Not getting rid of it. I'm afraid of, I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that I'm afraid of a lot of things on a daily basis. Obsession, self-esteem, whatever, but also everything else that everyone's afraid about. Doing a live stream and having no one show up, asking for questions and no one giving answers. Like, it's just, nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to be whatever. But one of the things, again, ego and humility is one of the things Jocko and Leif write about and talk about all the time. It's in their Dichotomy of Leadership book. I was forced to ask myself, like my wife kind of brought to my attention, why do you care? Why are you embarrassed? Why? Is it like your ego? What is it? And I thought, yeah, absolutely, it's my ego. So when you get past that, you can start to realize, heck, if one person's here and that one person buys into this, that's it. Like that's what I'm trying to do. So it's just a reframing and a refocusing of what's really important, but being honest with yourself during that process.
Welcome to the world of a podcast. If you get in a podcast thinking you're going to be the next Joe Rogan, you got to look. Joe's been doing it for like a decade, man. And it used to be solely MMA stuff. And you don't get to be Joe Rogan by just putting out like, you know, 100 or 200 episodes. He's into like 1300 or something like that now.
In 20 years ago when I was in college, he was on news radio and then he hosted Fear Factory. So it's like, that's a 20 plus year journey there.
Yes. Yes. And you're in it for the right reasons, man. And that's one thing I want to do is I want to promote up your website, because your website will bring you to your social media and stuff. So you guys give me a second here. Let me share my screen. I'm still learning all this cool stuff about technology. Yeah. There we go.
Dang.
There we go. There it is. Look at that. I love that picture, man. Yeah, I didn't know about the hair tonight, man. I don't know what kind of hair we were going to get. Were we going to get this hair or were we going to get this hair?
Yeah, it's no. Kind of someone just asked me today, what are you going to do for your hair for quarantine? Because I made a joke about them getting a quarantine haircut. And I said, nah, I generally go for 6 months without a haircut. And just randomly one day I'll say, I want to get a haircut. And then I just get a haircut. So, but yeah, I lucked into that picture, man. two really, really good local photographers took two different pictures at two different times, and it just worked out really well.
I love it, man. I love it. So go to charliespaniard.com. I'll have links for the show later on. But then you'll have links to your podcast and everything on here as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting also, you know, COVID and this quarantine, like it really, I mean, it jacked everyone. Everyone's in a routine. Everyone's doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And so what it forced me to do, and I'm, you know, in retrospect, it's like, man, this has been a long time coming. I should have been doing this. It's really forced me to take a step back and reevaluate the business side of what I'm doing and form a strategy, a plan, and refine mm-hmm. what I'm doing. And so it's been, you know, last 2 weeks have been a lot of introspection, a lot of reading of marketing books, a lot of talking to really smart marketing people and business minded people. And so that's what I'm doing now. Obviously I'm producing the content and the interviews and the episodes, but also I'm really learning the business side of things because that's a very important side of this thing that I haven't really been focused on the last couple of years.
That's great. So fun fact, I started off.
You know what? I don't know.
What did you say, Jason?
Oh, no. Go ahead, Alicia.
I was going to say, I started off wrestling when I was in like middle school, high school, because I had brothers who were wrestlers. And if I didn't learn some basic techniques or basic ways to defend myself, I was just getting choked out, single leg takedown all over the house. Went into jiu-jitsu eventually when I was in the military. But one of the things that was hardest for me is the second I felt like somebody was near me or was going to take me down or like even like choke, like just looking like they were going to choke me, I would start to freak out and panic. And so I really had to practice staying calm, taking deep breaths and relying on my training instead of just like gassing myself completely out. But I found that in business, that's really helped translate into just like taking a deep breath and slowing down when people are start to panic and get chaotic.
Yeah.
Practice that. And so I'm curious to know what techniques from jiu-jitsu and wrestling have you brought into business and how has that helped you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, work ethic and intensity is certainly one of them. And that's more so wrestling than it is fighting. You know, fighting it is that way, but to me, wrestling exceeds fighting in that intensity. You know, jiu-jitsu is not necessarily an intense sport. Wrestling is an intense sport. The mindset of fighting is pretty intense. And I tend to gravitate towards the guys like Frank Yeager, the wrestling based guys who bring the intensity from wrestling into their training with fighting. So intensity is certainly one of them. Getting comfortable in uncomfortable situations, like you just alluded to, I remember I was getting choked out in Brazil, my last UFC fight. And I mean, I was getting choked out in Brazil against a Brazilian. The freaking arena, I swear, was 100 degrees. It was so hot. And I just remember poker facing it. Ultimately, it didn't work. But I mean, I was getting choked and my consciousness was like coming in around me. And I just remember it getting to like the least bit of consciousness and I tapped. But getting comfortable to that fact where you think lights are going out, lights are going out, lights are going out. And then you either tap or you don't tap. But just getting comfortable, getting embarrassed, you know, getting knocked out cold on live television is a lot worse than getting told no or sounding like a dummy on a cold call. So that's been really helpful as well. One of the things, it's funny, I just thought of this tonight. You know, I read Aubrey Marcus, who's the founder of Onnit. And one of the things he mentioned in his book, Own the Day on Your Life, is taking a cold shower every day to just train your mental toughness, really. And so I do that every day for the last, I don't know, 1.5, 2 years since I read the book. And getting calm in a freezing cold shower is very similar to staying calm when someone's trying to choke you out. Different, of course, but the idea is not freaking out. It's just breathing and staying calm and cold. And whenever you're nervous or whenever you're apprehensive, making a call, standing on a stage or getting rejected, whatever it is, that certainly helps. That practice helps. So I just incorporate as many of those little safe, uncomfortable things on a daily basis as often as I can.
Yeah. There's a lot of hint of stoicism in there. I like that. And you have to get used to the suck, man. I love that word because just sometimes things just suck, but getting used to it and driving forward and learning from it. Now, one thing I did want to touch on tonight was books. Do you continuously write Are you, do you have a journal or what's your process?
Well, I actually have this, I got my two books beside me, but I'll show you what I do do. So yeah, so I read books, you know, on a regular basis, 5, 6, 7 days a week. And I've had, I'm coming up on a thousand daily episodes of my short books episodes, right? So I'll read, you know, and every day
Oh, nice.
I have that. So that's my lesson plan for my show. And it's also, you know, an artifact that I think my kids will probably think is cool, you know, when I'm gone. And so mm-hmm. I'm kind of making it for that reason as well. But those notes guide me. And what I found is like, I developed like a systematic approach to learning, right? And I found that extemporaneously when I give talks, that stuff is part of my brain and my fabric. So it'll come out like all the books I referenced tonight. They just, they kind of become part of me and come out when they need to. And then I've written two books. My first book is Driven, My Unlikely Journey from Classroom to Cage. And that's a straight autobiography of Spanish teacher to UFC fighter. And then the next one, Becoming the World's Toughest Lifelong Learner, a book for anyone who wants to pursue anything. And this is like I love it. To say I love it sounds kind of weird, but well, actually I wrote both books. I wouldn't have written them if I didn't like them. But this is like a manual into real time. I'm figuring out what I'm doing post-fighting. I've started a podcast. I've started a speaking career. This is how I'm doing it. These are the things that work, and these are the things that don't work. So it's just a fun book. I got tons of quotes and guests on the show and books that I've read and lessons. But I write on a pretty consistent basis between those two things.
I love it, man. I love it. Alicia's got to write a book next.
That's right.
Here's my writing process, because I'm writing my next book on human trafficking. So what I do is I do these mind maps, and they're like all over my house. I put the topic in, and I'm like all over the place. And writing is, I love it. And so many people are embracing it now, and so many people want to get their story on paper, which is perfect.
Yeah,
great time.
And I've thought like I could probably streamline it and make it faster and make it better and put it on Drive and Google Drive. But it's like, man, just writing. It makes reading the books and then handwriting it makes me settle down. It makes me stop. And mm-hmm. not saying I'll never change it, but here and now, it's the process and system that I like.
Awesome, brother. I like my texts all the time are like, oh, you're talking about writing a book again. I'm like, yep. Always, man. Always. Well, brother, it has come time for the toughest question. But before we get there, where can we find your books?
Everything I do is on my website. So my name is Charlie and nickname is Spaniard. So charliespaniard.com. They're both up on Amazon. If you just type in my name, Charlie Brenneman, or go to my website, click on the links, it'll take you there. I'm really transparent with everything. You know, podcasts are hard, writing books is hard, life mm-hmm. is hard, and I'm really transparent, honest, and it's I thought, you know, if I would have written a daily log from the time I left my Spanish teaching position to becoming a UFC fighter, that would have been really cool. I would have loved to. I think that's would have been really cool. So I'm basically doing that as I go from fighting to speaker, author, podcast host. So everything I put out follows that kind of theme as well. Cut out here. I can't hear anything. I don't know if you're talking or not.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, well,
that's definitely one way.
There he is.
There we go.
See how lost you guys are.
We're all here together now.
Here. We're back.
There I am. I'm back. Welcome to technology, everybody. Let me put the banner up here real quick. I'm like the engineering producer and everybody else.
I feel you, buddy.
All in one.
I feel you.
There we go. Boom. CharlieSpaniard.com. Look at that.
Andy spelled it right. Well done. I was thinking every time I say my website and I have to spell, I'm like, son of a gun, why didn't I just pick an easier website? Like joe.com or something like
that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a quick off topic, but so my son's name, I call him Johnny, Jonathan. But I can never remember, like, Jonathan. I'm like, I have it tattooed up here. And I'm like, okay, what is it again? I'm like always trying to forget how to spell anything.
It's funny you mentioned that name, because I always have to think, is it A-N at the end or is it O?
Yes, yes.
I'll mess me up more, probably more than any other name, to be honest.
Awesome, brother. Okay, here's a tough question. If you could go back in time, oh, before I do this, Alicia, I don't want to hold, do you have anything you'd like to ask Charlie?
I mean, I think I have the most important question.
Okay.
So we've been doing this now a few episodes in a row. I talked about my New York experience when I went to New York.
Oh my God, the best question ever.
Bagels, a proper good New York bagel. So I have to ask you, what kind of bagel do you order and how do you get it?
Wow. Well, most of my bagels do not come from New York. So I probably will not, that's like being in North Jersey and saying, I like to eat at the Olive Garden. And it's like, what are you talking about? That's terrible. My bagels, I've grown into an everything bagel with plain cream cheese.
Okay. Mm.
Okay, Charlie. I'm glad that you brought up East Stroudsburg, because in one or two shows ago that we did before, I talked about a place in Pennsylvania that has New York style bagels. And there was this place in East Stroudsburg that had the best New York bagels, like New York quote, because they were from New York. And I think they actually brought the water up, but yeah, man, East Stroudsburg does have some decent.
You know what? If it's the one I'm thinking of, I don't know the name of it, but it's right on, I don't even know what this is, right when you get off of 80, it's probably like a half a mile from Route 80. I don't know if that would be it or not, but I know that we go to a bagel place in Stroudsburg that has tremendous bagels.
Oh my God.
Whatever do for a bagel.
And we do this every time Alicia comes on, she starts talking about bagels and I start going.
I was going to say, when you were asking the most important question, I was like getting nervous. Like, all right, Charlie, I think it's something good to say.
It's your ready.
Okay. Now's a tough question. This is the one my daughter came up with, and we've been asking it every show. And there's no butterfly effect, meaning if something happened in the past, it's not going to affect the future. That says nothing to do with your life in general. But if you could go back in time, what would you change, if anything?
Like in the world, not necessarily my life.
Yeah, in the whole world.
Man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I'm thinking history. I'm thinking stuff I want to know. I don't know. Yes, I don't have a definitive. I don't have a definitive anything. But I would really like to know about creation. I would really like to know about the beginning, the start. So it's not a change, but I would kind of try to figure out how did this all happen.
I like that. That's a good one. We'll change it around. I mean, a bagel question kind of threw me off, because all I can think about is bagels right now. Okay, guys, Charlie, Alicia, appreciate you. If you guys could both stand in line, I'm going to do an outro and say goodbye to Facebook and Twitter land.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for joining Pick Rep tonight. Great guests as usual. The guests just keep coming. They're just incredible people, all of them. I'd like to really thank Alicia for jumping in tonight. She's a great co-host. She has the real questions. Me, I just like the bullshit and wing it. But Alicia really knows what she's doing. I love having her on. Everybody, join me nightly, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Tomorrow night is different, though. Tomorrow night, we have Max Marchini. You've seen him in 13 Hours. You've seen him in The Unit. Come on, The Unit's awesome show. And he also has a movie called Sergeant Will Gardner. Great movie. Max is a huge veteran advocate, proponent, loves it. Always is out there asking what he can do to help. Tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. So please join us tomorrow night live with Max Marchini. Thank you, everybody.